Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that our God is not concerned about your past? We're just singing about that. God is not concerned about your past. He's a God of the present. He's a God of the now. But not only that, He's the God of the future. And I'll tell you what, His grace is greater than all our sin. And I'm glad we have an opportunity to come together as a church family. We're going to receive communion in a little while tonight. But I think sometimes we get so busy in the hustle and bustle of life that we get all involved with our family and school and planning and business and decisions and travel and all these other things we have to deal with. It's part of our life. But there comes a time in our walk with the Lord when we need to just sit down, we need to slow down, and we need to think about who our God is and what He means to us. Every one of us in here tonight have a testimony. Every one of us have a story to tell. And one thing we all have in common tonight is Jesus. And what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're going to just take a little bit of time as a church family tonight, and we're going to come to the table together. We're going to talk a little bit about what communion is and what it means to us. So I want you to just greet someone around you and tell them you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord. You know, Pastor Joel made the comment after he had been to Rhema not long ago. He was reminded of a conversation that he had with another minister. And the thing what was spoken was this, that in the last days that God is going to raise up strong churches. And I believe that that's God's mandate for this time and this hour that we're living in, that God is going to raise up strong local churches, and that from the strong local churches, there's going to be babies that are going to be raised up that are going to do mighty things for God. I believe our teenagers are going to be so on fire for God that when they get into the schools, even this school year, you mark it down, they're going to be different than the other kids in school. And I believe that God wants us as a church body to be strong. But the way we're going to be strong as a church body is to remember there's a lot of different ways you can do that. But we know we're a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. The real you is the person on the inside, your spirit man. That's the real you. The way you're going to build up your spirit man on the inside is through meditating in His Word, spending time in His Word. The Bible says His Word is a lamp onto your feet and it's a light onto your path. For you to be strong, you need to make sure you take time to get God's Word in your heart. And if you'll do that, I'll tell you, the Bible says His Word will be a lamp onto your feet and it'll be a light onto your path. When you need to make decisions, when you want to know which way to go, I believe with all my heart, you'll know which way to go and you'll know what decisions to make because you're taking the time to make your spirit strong. When Paul ministered to the church at Galatia, he said that if you'll sow to your spirit, then from your spirit you'll reap everlasting life. So I believe that every one of us need to take the time to spend time in God's Word and to feed our spirit man. Feed on the Word of God. In fact, over there in Proverbs 4, it says, "My son, attend to my words." He says, "Incline your ears unto my sayings. Don't let my word depart from before your eyes, and keep my word in the midst of your heart, because my word is life and health and healing and medicine unto all them that find it, health to all your flesh." Then he says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life." We have to take the time in the last days to be strong in our spirit. A lot of people operate out of their head. They operate out of sense knowledge. And because of that, circumstances push them all around. and they're not strong in their spirit like they need to be. But if you'll take the time to spend time with God and His Word and just love His Word and fall in love with His Word, spend time every day. Doesn't have to be a long time, but the Bible says God's Word is alive and powerful. It'll cause you to be a powerhouse in life. When other people are fainting, you'll be strong because you're feeding your spirit, man. You're staying in the Word, and that Word is feeding your spirit. It's the only food that will feed your spirit is God's Word. You can't give it. You can't get it from secular things. You got to get it from the Word. And because of spending time in God's Word, the Bible says when you get born again, it says don't be conformed to this world, but it says be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind with the washing of water by the Word of God. The Word of God will change the way you think. It'll change the way you operate. It'll change the way you look at circumstances. It'll change the way you live. When you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you'll wake up every morning and you'll say, in all things, I am more than a conqueror. You'll say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, when your mind gets renewed to the Word of God. First thing that'll come out of your mouth, with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You'll get your mind renewed to God's Word. And you won't be a can't-do person. You'll be a can-do person. Amen. We can do all things through Christ. And then the last thing that happens when you get your spirit man built up and your spirit man is strong, and you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you'll find out that because you're a three-part being, a lot of people, even that love God, are led by circumstances because their mind isn't renewed to the Word of God and they're not feeding their spirit on the Word. And circumstances cause their flesh to line right up and it leads them into places and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But when you get your spirit man built up in the Word and you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you know what happens? It's two against one. It's your spirit man built up. It's your mind renewed. And you'll take your flesh and you'll tell your flesh what it's going to do and what it's not going to do. You say, why is that important? Because if we want to be strong as Christians, we got to be strong in our spirit. We got to be strong in our soul, which is our mind. And then the last thing that comes along is in our body. Is in our body. He wants us strong in all three parts of our three-part being. You know, in Psalm 103, the Bible says that when the Lord led the people out of captivity under the old covenant, He brought 2.5 million people out of bondage under the old covenant. And the Bible says He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their whole tribe. Now we're under a better covenant, established under better promises. And back then, they didn't have something we got. When you got born again, you received the very life and nature of God. God came to live in you. Did you get that? God came to live in you. The Bible says, don't you realize that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that God lives in you? I say it like this. There ain't no junk in God's treasure trunk. The Bible tells us we have this treasure. It's talking about God. It's talking about His Spirit. We have this treasure in these earthen vessels that the excellency and the power might be of God and not of us. And so when we receive communion, when we take communion, it allows us to go back in time and look back at what Jesus did for you and me. I know in healing school last Sunday, I talked about that. I talked about how Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus showed up after He was raised from the dead. And Thomas was speaking and he said, you know what, guys? He said, I know you said you've seen Jesus, but unless I can put my finger into His wrist, in his hand here, and unless I can thrust my hand into His side, He says, I'm not even going to believe. And you know what the Bible says? It says 8 days later, they were behind closed walls, and the Bible says three words. It says, then came Jesus. Now that would get your attention. Jesus walked into that room and He didn't condemn Thomas. He didn't berate him. He didn't belittle him. He just said, Thomas, come over here. I want to get down on your level where you're living. He says, come here, Thomas. He says, go ahead and put your fingers in there. And here's what I told him in healing school. That was enough to put your fingers right here where the nails were thrust into his wrists. But think about it. How many of you would like to stick your hand in someone's side where it was wide open with blood and water? Think about that. And then, of course, you know, Thomas, he sticks his hand in there, and as soon as he did, he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus looked right at him and he said, Thomas, he said, the only reason you're believing right now is because you've seen. You're in the senses. But he said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. The word blessed in the Hebrew means extremely happy. And if you want to be extremely happy in life, just remember this, the same Jesus that came to Thomas that didn't condemn him, didn't shame him, didn't talk about his faults, didn't talk about his fear, didn't talk about his doubt, didn't talk about his unbelief, found a way to get down on his level and says, if you can learn to live by faith, you're going to be a blessed man. So when we receive communion, we need to know that when we come to the table, we got to take a look back and remember what Jesus did for us. That's what receiving communion is all about. Remembering what Jesus did for us. It's coming to the table as a family. Did you know that in Ephesians it says that in Christ, there's neither male nor female, there's neither bond nor free. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. Listen to me. There's only one baptism. The Bible says there's only one God and Father of all. He's above all, and he's through all. He belongs to every one of us. And what he did for one, Jesus will do for any one of us. That's the kind of God that he is. I remember when I was looking at the scriptures pertaining to communion. I remember the story about Saul when he was on the road to Damascus. And I've shared this story many times, but he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He was going down this path. He wanted Christians to be hauled into jail, and they were treating him very roughly. He was on his way to Damascus. God knocked him off his high horse. He's lying on his back looking up into heaven, and Jesus looks down on him, and he said, Saul, isn't it hard to kick against the pricks? Once again, he didn't berate him. He didn't dog him. He didn't talk down on him. He said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to go the way you've been going. But he says, I want you to know this is the reason that I've come to you today. I want to turn you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that you'll receive your forgiveness of your sins and your rightful inheritance among the saints, and to know the call of God that I have on your life. And the Bible says from that time on that Saul was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. See, the one that's been forgiven of the most is the one that's going to love the most. That's why 3/4 of the New Testament was written by this man that was a murderer and a thug. He was an angry man, but God changed him on the road to Damascus one day. And he got the revelation from heaven about communion. He wasn't there with the other disciples, but he said, I've received from the Lord that which was given to me by the Spirit. He says that the Lord, the same day in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, and then he ate of that bread. And then the Bible says he took the cup and he said, take and drink this. This is my blood that was shed for your sins. He says, as often as you do this, he said, do it in remembrance of me. Now, we don't take the time to really visualize that, I don't think, often enough. But if you guys ever saw the Christ, you know, that movie a few years back about the cat of nine tails being slung on his back, and they literally showed the blood splattering. I'm not trying to get gross or graphic here, but my wife and I, we were in that movie with our daughter, and I about got sick and walked out. I couldn't hardly handle it, and this was just a movie. But he went through so much for you and me. And it wasn't just the cat of nine tails on his back. It wasn't just the thorns that were pushed into his head. It wasn't just the berating and the belittling. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when I went back over one portion, I want you to just look at this real quickly with me. We're going to receive communion in a minute here. But real quickly, let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. I want you to see this with me. Matthew 27, starting in verse 33. Well, actually, let's back down to verse 30. It won't take that long. Matthew 27:30. It says, "And they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off of him and put it on his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they commanded to bear his cross. And they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." Verse 35. It says, "And they crucified him." My. They crucified him. Parted the garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And they, sitting down, watched him there." When I was thinking about the word crucified, it was just something in me that said, look up the word crucified and see what it means. And did you know when I looked up the word crucified, it comes from the Greek word staro. That word literally means to stand up. When they nailed Jesus on that cross for you and me, and they raised him up, the devil thought he had him. The devil thought he had Jesus right where he wanted him. He says, "I got him." And I'm sure the devil was laughing and mocking. But when Jesus was being raised up on that cross, the Bible says that he was standing up. And I said, "Lord, what do you mean by that?" He says, "When they were standing me up, I was standing up for the prostitute. I was standing up for the drunkard. I was standing up for the alcoholic. I was standing up for the thief. I was standing up for the liar. I was standing up for the con artist. I was standing up for the murderer. I was despised for the con man. I was standing up for every person that ever sinned, that ever missed it." And at the same time, when he was standing up, he was standing too. He was standing right to the devil and demon powers. He was standing up to fear and doubt and unbelief. He was standing up to sickness and disease. Why? So that after he had been raised from the dead, the Bible says that we were raised up together with him. Come on. We were raised, after all he went through for you and me, the Bible says we were raised up together with him and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when you receive the communion elements with me tonight, just remember this. Jesus paid a hefty price for you to have all your sin, all your guilt, all your condemnation washed away under his blood to give you a brand new start. And whatever sickness or disease or medical infirmity that you've got right now, you've been dealing with, Jesus bought and paid for that by the stripes that were laid on his back. And he's just as much your healer as he is your Savior. Psalm 107:20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." It says, "Oh, taste and see that my Lord, he is good." Hallelujah. His works are good over all them that call upon his name. And anybody can come to the table just like you. I'm going to end with a little story. There's a guy named Doc Horton who years ago used to teach now and then at Ramey. He was one of Dad Hagen's good buddies. He was the youngest of a big, big family. And he said that, you know, we weren't that wealthy. So he says, when my mama would make food, she'd sometimes fill a great big bowl on the table with pork chops. And there was just enough to go around for the whole family. And sometimes there'd be one left over. And he said, after a while, he says, I got that figured out. So Doc said, you know what I did? He says, I knew that when there was one pork chop left, I could get it if I could just jump up in Daddy's lap and just start hugging on him and say, Daddy, could I have that extra pork chop? And he'd give it to him. But aren't you glad to know that God's got a bowl full of pork chops and you can just eat all you want? Amen. Psalm 23 says that we can sit at that table, glory to God, and we can eat all we want. You know, and I've had to watch my health and other things for a lot of years, but I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't mind receiving communion here because it reminds me of Jesus and the life that He wants us to have. But buddy, when I get to heaven, you better get out of my way because I'm going to hit that buffet hard. Paul was scriptural. He said, I buffet myself daily. But anyway, how many of you are going to be with me at that buffet? You know, and one of the beautiful parts about our Jesus is that when He served that last meal, you know, He didn't take of that cup. He said, now the next time we take it, I'm going to take it together with you in heaven. Isn't that awesome? That's the kind of God we serve. So let's just go ahead and prepare our hearts. That's another thing. When you come to the table to eat, you got to have clean hands. My mom would tell us, if you don't wash your hands, you ain't coming to the table. So just check your heart out. God is good. He says, if you examine your own heart, then nobody else has that opportunity to do that. It's just between you and the Lord. He knows where you're at. But just remember, just like He came to Thomas behind those walls, He's coming to you and saying, I'm not here to shame you, condemn you. I'm here to forgive you, restore you, and raise you up. And if the Lord is here in this house tonight, and I know that He is because He said where two or more are gathered, He's Jesus, your healer as well. Amen. He received those stripes on His back to make you whole. Did you all get your communion elements here tonight? Praise the Lord. I'll try to help you out here. Some of you don't know, but there's a little kind of invisible kind of thing on top here. So make sure you got to be careful. If you scratch on the top, you'll be able to get it off. Okay? So let's just take a minute and examine our hearts. In fact, let me just lead you all in a prayer and we'll just take care of that part of it right now. Just say, Dear God in heaven, I thank You right now that You died for me and 3 days later You were raised up in resurrection life. Thank You, Jesus, that Your blood given at the mercy seat paid the price for my sin, my guilt, my shame, and my mistakes to be washed in the blood. And I thank You that because of what You did, Jesus, I am forgiven. Jesus, You be my Lord, be my Savior, and live in me. And Jesus, I believe You're my healer. I believe You took those stripes to pay for my healing. In the name of Jesus is above every name. So I thank You, Lord. I call myself healed in the name of Jesus. Now just go ahead and judge your heart. We'll just take a minute to do that. And we'll receive the body and then the blood. Thank You, Lord. Let's just hold up this wafer, symbolic of His body. Father, we thank You for Your body that was broken for us. that by your stripes, Jesus, we were healed. And so, Lord, we thank you that just as you are our Savior, you're our healer just as well. And we thank you, Jesus, that you received those stripes on your back so that by your stripes we could be healed. So we're going to break this wafer and we're going to receive our healing now in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and do that. And in the name of Jesus, I curse every lying symptom in our midst of sickness and disease. Father, you said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So I take the authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I bind every lying spirit of sickness and disease that would try to be in any body, in any person in this place. And I rebuke it and I say, go in the name of Jesus. I command everybody be healed in Jesus' name. So be it. Now, Father, we just lift up the cup, symbolic of the blood of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that spilt out His blood, shed His blood, so that we could be born again, born of the Spirit of God, and to be able to come into Your presence, Father, without any sense of guilt, shame, condemnation, or inferiority, because of Your blood. And, Father, I thank You that we walk by faith. So, Lord, I thank you. You said in 1 John 1:9 that if we would confess our sins where we missed the mark, you'd be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, I thank you right now. We receive this cup of our salvation, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed to make us guiltless before you. We receive it now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that because we walk by faith and not by sight, that we not only receive your forgiveness, Father, but I thank you, Lord, that we take another step. And that is by faith, we forgive ourselves. So that when the accuser of the brethren tries to come by and try to remind us about our past, we'll remind the devil about his future. He's going down into the pit and he's never coming out. And we'll all gather around that hole and say, is that the one? Is that the one? Are you kidding me? Seriously, is that the one? Oh, what a party time that's going to be. But until then, Father, we're going to live in resurrection power because we're saved, sanctified, healed, and set apart. Glory to God to give you glory and honor in all that we think, say, and do. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. One last thing I want to do real quickly. We're going to sing another song or two. If you're a school teacher or involved in school, if you're a student, would you do us the favor of standing up? We know that school's starting right now. We just want to pray over our teachers. God bless our Christian teachers. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Glory to God. And now if you're a student, would you stand up? If you're a student, just stay standing up. We're going to pray for all of you. Glory to God. Now, if you can get your hand on someone around you that's stood up, please put your hand on them. We're going to pray over them. Father, thank you right now for these precious ones that are given the opportunity to be light and salt to our children, to our young people. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your grace is in place for them. And we thank you, Lord, that just like Jesus, that every day, that they grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We thank you, Lord, that you protect these teachers, that you keep them strong and keep them surrounded by others that are of like precious faith, so that, Lord, as they enter into those schools, they'll go in there to change people's lives forever. And we thank you, Lord, that they'll speak as an oracle of God and minister with the ability that only you can give. And we say that out of their belly will flow rivers of living water, and their mouths will be like a wellspring of wisdom and as a flowing brook. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to bring life and blessing to all these kids in the schools. And we thank you, Lord, that you give your angels charge over them to make every school in this whole area safe. We thank you, Lord. We speak safety over every school in this area. And we say that no evil shall befall our children, and neither shall any plague, sickness, or calamity of any kind come near our children. We call them safe. We call them protected. We call them defended by the angels of heaven. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that our children, they'll grow up loving you, fearing you, honoring you, serving you, and giving you their best. And because of that, Father, you'll bless their going out and coming in. You'll bless them, Father, in the storehouse and in the field. You'll bless everything our kids set their hands to do. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, our children will be 10 times smarter than any unbelievers. They'll be blessed and highly favored. And we thank you, Lord, that the plans you have for them, oh, they're all going to come to pass. Because, Lord, we thank you, Lord, you said, my children are for signs and wonders. And we thank you, Lord, that our teachers and our children are raised up for such a time as this, for signs and wonders. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing our kids with awesome teachers, awesome people around them, and give them the greatest year of their life in school. And we thank you, Father, for divine favor all over them. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.